Hello, college golf fans, and welcome to an off-campus podcast. I'm Lance Ringler. Joining me today, Brentley Romine and Beth Ann Nichols. And we're here today to talk about the Player of the Year race in women's college golf, and specifically the Anika Award. Today, the Women's Golf Coaches Association announced that UCLA's Lilia Vu is their Player of the Year, but there's still time to discuss who's going to be the Anika Award winner, which is given to the player who is voted. It's voted on by their peers, coaches, SIDs, media types, people who follow the game. And that's where the debate is still lingering, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. I'm just going to go ahead and hand it right off to Beth Ann to tell us a little bit about this week. And Beth Ann, we've talked all week in our time of covering women's college golf. Not sure we've ever seen a race this close. Usually when we get to this point, there's a clear-cut winner, and if there's not a clear-cut winner, there's somebody that we say, well, if this person wins and this person who is the leader finishes like 20th, maybe we'll swing our vote. Not the case this year. There's still debates between several players.
Beth Ann, and stroke play is done.
And stroke play is complete. And another good point that you talked about is if you have a player who's kind of on the edge or on the outside looking in, and they happen to lead their team to a national championship and they go 3-0 in match play, that has to be taken into consideration.
Absolutely. It's still an individual performance. I think that coming into this week, there definitely was a favorite in Maria Fassi, but the fact that early voting was strong here and that a lot of folks had voted before anyone had struck a tee shot at Carson Creek really shocked me. I think unless it's your teammate and you're going to vote regardless for Maria Fassi or Lauren Stevenson or whoever, that you couldn't early vote this time. It was impossible.
Should we get a voting campaign going, vote responsibly, for next year's Anika Award?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, hashtag vote responsibly. Well, players and coaches, voting's open through the end of, what night is it close? I'm
sure. Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, yeah. So once the championship's over, I believe they'll leave it open for a few hours and let people still vote. I'm sure the most votes will be pouring in here today, tomorrow. Voting responsibly, Brentley, exactly. But let's talk about who you think. The big change here, what threw a twist into all this was obviously Maria Fassi was the favorite. She was probably going to win, but no one expected her to finish outside the top 50. Mm-hmm. If she finished inside, just a reasonable showing, she probably was still going to get most of the votes. So she didn't play well. And then another player who's closely behind her, in Wake Forest's Jennifer Kupcho, wins the individual title, which was an amazing deal after what she did last year to come back and win. So, Brentley, one of those two players, your pick?
Define closely, because I had about four or five players in front of Jennifer Kupcho coming into this week, and I know that Beth Ann and I have differing opinions on the subject, but I'm glad I get to lead off, because there's nothing better than getting that first strike on the audience. But I don't think Jennifer Kupcho should win the Anika Award presented by 3M. I actually think Lilia Vu should. She finished T7 here this week, had a good week, helped her team to match play. Granted, they're now eliminated.
Right. And how did she play today?
She lost her match. Mm-hmm. However, her strength of schedule, way tougher than Jennifer Kupcho's.
She's much tougher?
So let's look at the stats.
Well,
Jennifer Kupcho has played 12 events. Her strength of schedule is 76. Lilia Vu, 10 events. Her strength of schedule is 41. But she's 52-13-8 against the top 25. Jennifer Kupcho has lost 33 times to the top 25.
Okay, you're right, and her strength of schedule is a little bit better. From 41 to 76 is really... That's not a big enough argument there. They pretty much play the same schedule. You're talking two top 100 schedules in college golf. So, but Beth Ann, you like Kupcho.
Absolutely. I mean, both of them have 5 victories, although technically one is a playoff loss for Vu, but we still count it as a win in conference. So two players have 5 victories. Two players play strong schedules. One player has a national title among those 5 victories. To me, it's got to be Jennifer Kupcho. I realized that coming into this week, she wasn't as strong a candidate as Maria Fassi, for sure. Same for Vu. Vu already had 5 wins. But Kupcho needed to win this week to get it done, and she did.
It's the line is very fine. I will admit, Lilia Vu, Maria Fassi, Jennifer Kupcho, you could argue the case that they're 1B, 1A, 1C, whatever you want to give them. But to me, it's just, for some reason, I just think Lilia Vu has had the greater season. It's a season-long award. It's not a one-week award.
But they had the same number of wins.
Because otherwise we would just, yeah, but if you look at their wins, Lilia Vu's wins are more impressive than Jennifer Kupcho's.
But Jennifer Kupcho just won the national title, and you're telling me that the other player had more impressive wins?
Jennifer Kupcho has the most impressive one, but if you average all the wins out, Lilia Vu has had the better collection of impressive wins.
I admire your enthusiasm on this. You're making good points, but I don't think that they trump Kupcho winning the national championship and being close. Now, if she came into this championship ranked 20,
yeah, 50,
but she was already up there. She was already, and we know about how good of a player she is. She's had a good year. You know, that probably seals the deal. One thing, we'll just talk about a couple other players real quick. You're looking at Alabama's Lawrence Stevenson. I mean, she has not finished outside the top 10 all year.
Yeah.
Now, she's got, I believe, two wins.
She's also ranked number one
in the Gulf Coast Sagarin rankings. Ready to say, she's the number one rated player in the computer rankings. And usually, in both men's and women's golf, the number one ranked player is almost always your player of the year. There's been a few differences, and this year will probably be another one. But she's had a phenomenal year. Is it just two wins, I think, is what she has
two
this
wins?
Year?
Never.
She has a stroke average below 70.
That's unheard of in women's college
golf.
That's
never happened before. And
right.
And had she won,
yeah,
even with two victories and the lowest stroke average in NCAA history, I would have given it to her.
And then we talk about, I know your answer, but I'll just ask. Did she have a better year than Kupcho?
No, because she didn't win at all.
Right. Had Kupcho not, yeah, it's like I said, we've never had a year like this in women's college golf.
No, but it's just like, again, I cover the LPGA, so it's easy for me to not make a correlation here. You get a trophy for low scoring average,
right?
But it doesn't factor into player of the year in terms of the be all end all, right? I mean, it's a separate award. so if she had to win it all and then combine it with the lowest stroke average to make up for fewer victories against, say, a Maria Fassi.
But if Lauren were to win the Annika Award, were to receive the most votes, it wouldn't be a huge oversight. I mean, she went 83-21 with seven ties against the top 25.
That's pretty dang good. Thing that's going to happen. Any other year, with what happened, Lauren probably, with what she accomplished this year, never finishing outside the top 10, two wins, stroke average under 70. Mm-hmm. That's all we talk about. But she was she was an afterthought.
And head to head, they would have finished even on the year. Maria Fassi
and
versus
Lauren. And that was what, 3-3-1, correct?
Correct.
Right.
You could also argue Fassi still.
You could.
Seven wins.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
So she has three more wins than her closest competitor?
So what does it say that someone wins seven times and there are enough good players
I know.
That have won enough titles to even merit this conversation? I mean, you know, we've talked a lot about how college golf has gotten stronger in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But this year you could truly say that the top echelon of players pretty darn good.
And we're not even mentioning Stanford's Andrea Lee, who just finished tied for second.
Correct.
This week.
Correct.
Great season. Patty Tavitanikit from UCLA, probably going to be the freshman of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that being said about Lauren, she's still playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know.
So if Alabama wins the national title, did I vote too soon?
And
so you already voted.
I did because I felt it was done.
I'm still noodling my vote.
Lauren wins her match this morning. We'll be playing again this afternoon, or in the semifinals and the finals. So, yeah, there's still.
And she beat the best player on Kent State's mm-hmm. team, who also had four titles in the season.
And I believe she's playing the best player.
No, Andrea Lee actually is playing Bianca.
No, I'm saying Alabama is playing against Southern Cal.
Oh.
Although it's hard to tell with this Southern Cal team who's the best player, because they're also even.
Yeah.
We got four freshmen. and a sophomore. So, but hypothetically, though, hypothetically, if Lauren Stevenson were to win this afternoon, 5-4, you know, just completely routes her opponent. Tomorrow, does the same thing. Leads the tie to a national championship. Is she the player of the year?
I don't think so, because she didn't win the individual title, and she has two other first-team All-Americans on the roster. So,
she finished T7 this week, though. It's not too shabby.
With a poor final round.
One bad day. She could have had the, you know, the wrong muffin in the morning.
But it comes down to that, though.
The wrong bad orange juice.
to only win three titles as opposed to 5 and 7. You know, I mean,
it's one of those years. It's where, like I said, I've never seen anything like it. It's going to be interesting to see if Fosse had enough votes coming in here to keep her ahead. Yeah. If there's a push for Kupcho here at the end, and you know, what if Lauren from Alabama does anything here at the championship? So, really interesting year. There's no question. Any final thoughts, Brentley?
If you're asking me who I think is going to win, I think Jennifer Kupcho is going to win. If you're asking me who I would vote for right now, it'd be Lilia Vu. But I'm still open to some.
See, I voted for Kupcho. That's obvious. But I actually think Fosse might end up with the most votes because she has the most wins.
I think it depends on how much voting was done earlier.
How many friends do each of these players have?
Well, there's another. That's another thing.
But TV is huge. I mean, people saw Jennifer Kupcho raising the trophy yesterday, and
I think if a lot of people vote in the college golf world. Now it's gonna have a big difference, because who knows how many votes Fosse got early? Because coming in, like you said, it was a no-brainer.
Right.
It really was a no-brainer. For me, I think Fosse might have enough votes to carry her. I think Kupcho probably will win if more people vote. But I also think that's why I'm not gonna vote yet. I'm gonna see if Lauren goes 3-0 and Alabama wins the national championship.
I
might vote her just because going 3-0, winning a national championship. No finishes outside the top 10 all year. Two wins. And
first player to break 70.
Yeah, so it's either going to be Lauren or Jennifer for me.
It's an embarrassment of riches. I love this problem.
It's like I said, we've never seen it before in women's college golf.
Hopefully they get good orange juice tomorrow morning.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for joining us for our first podcast here from the NCAA Championships. Hope to have more. And for all your college golf news, please check out golfweek.com.